Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith. We're seeing men and women who took God at His Word. It's great stories from the Word of God. Our goal, of course, as we study this passage, is to be men and women of faith, that we would live by the Word of God, that we would take God at His Word and live by faith. Over and over, we've been seeing the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we've seen victory. Well, this morning, we're coming to the end, almost to the end of the study. The writer of the Hebrews has been giving examples of men and women who live by faith, and he talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua. And then look at chapter 11, verse 32. He says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who, by faith," and then he lists some more things. We are seeing this very end part. And what we've decided to do is just touch on a few more, maybe not even the ones that were necessarily listed there, but we saw last time the Hebrew boys who quenched the power of fire. Well, this morning we're going to see probably one of the most famous men in the Bible. He is listed in verse 32. He says, "Time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David." And we're going to think about King David, who by faith gained a great victory over the giant. In fact, if you look at verse 32, it talks about quenching the power of fire, escaping the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong. But look at the end. It says, "Became mighty in war and put foreign armies to flight." That's what David did. David, by faith, gained a great victory. How do we deal with the giants in our lives? Because we got them all. We have to live by faith. And this morning, we want to be encouraged as we look at this story from the Old Testament, from, of course, Hebrews 11, the listing David, and then what happened. Well, you know, Murphy's Law says if it can happen, it will happen. It takes longer, costs more, it's never easy. In our lives, there always seems to be issues and problems. And the truth is that when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we become a child of God and an enemy of this fallen world. And we're going contrary to the world. In fact, we have an enemy as a roaring lion. And as believers, and as we seek to stand for God in a fallen world, we realize we're in a spiritual battle. And we have to stand by faith. And this morning, we're going to see David. And David was a boy. He wasn't a grown man. He was a boy, a young boy. And he stood by faith against a giant. We're going to see how he did that. And we're going to see that he stood strong and he believed God. And in our Christian lives, we have the same thing. We get to stand strong based on the truths of the Word of God. So as we continue our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith, we're near the end, and we've been seeing over and over again men and women who lived by faith. And we come to the end, and the author summarizes it, and remember, as we said in verse 11, verse 32, he said, "Time will fail to talk about more people." He said, "I've already given you a listing of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Moses' parents and Gideon and the Joshua and Rahab," and he just listed all of these people. But as I said at the end of verse 33, he talks about by faith conquered kingdoms, by faith became mighty in war, put armies to flight. This morning, let's think of David. When you think of David, we always say, King David, King David. He's the greatest. He's the greatest king of all, I think. I mean, I know Solomon was the richest and wisest king who ever lived, but nobody is like David. David is called a man after God's own heart. He was a leader. He was a warrior. He was a songwriter. He was a musician. He could do anything. I mean, David was the kind of guy that he could fight, and then he could play, and then he could sing. He could do anything. Often when you think of David, you think of David and Goliath. David fought a giant man. He was a giant man. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall, best we can tell. And this morning, as we see this famous story, there's some truths to think about. And by the way, as I said a while ago, when you think about David, don't think of him as a grown man. Think of him, he could be as young as 12 years old, could be 12, 13, 14, maybe 15. He's not a warrior. He's not in battle. He's not there to fight. And we'll talk about what happens. David's father was named Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. The youngest of those sons was David. The 3 oldest of Jesse's sons went off to war. The Jewish people were fighting the Philistines. The Philistines had been called sometimes the sea people. They'd come up from the southwest part and got into the lower part of what we'd call Israel today, and they had 5 cities, the 5 cities of the Philistines, and they were enemies with the Jewish people, and they were always fighting them. And now there's a war going on. And so David's three older brothers have left to go to war. And the dad, Jesse, is there. And so one day he says to David, who is the youngest, David, since you're the youngest, he's the youngest one, he has to take care of the animals. He kind of gets all the jobs that nobody else wants to do. And one day his dad calls him in and says, son, what I want you to do is I want you to go where the battle is. I want you to see how your brothers are doing. I want you to take some cheese and some food. I want you to give some to the commander and some to your brothers. And I just want you to check everything out and then come back. And I just want to make sure everybody's okay. So David's going to go. So let's hold our place and let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, where we had our scripture reading a while ago. We're going to start at the verse of the chapter. We will go very quickly through this. We'll not go as slow as we would if we were studying 1 Samuel verse by verse, passage by passage. We're just going to see this event. The war is going on. David has left. He gets there. And let me tell you what has happened. He gets there. He puts the baggage down by where all the stuff is being held. And he basically says, where's everything happening? And they said, it's happening right over there. There was two hills. On one hill were the Philistines. On the other hill, there's a valley in between. On the other hill are the Jewish people. And they've lined up looking at each other. But nobody's fighting. And we'll talk about it as we get to it in just a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look what we see at verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their army for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socah and Hezekiah and Ephes-Damin. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle ready to counter the Philistines. Well, they've lined up with each other. Now this is about 15 miles west of Bethlehem. If you know, Bethlehem is 6 miles south, 6 to 8 miles south of Jerusalem. So they're over to the west of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. If you think about how it looked in those days and time. There are two hills, verse 3. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley in between them. So you can picture this. In the mornings, when people got ready to go to fight, they would all go out there and they would line up with their short shields and swords and spears, and they would stand on top of that mountain. And then on the other side, the Philistines have lined up all of their army. And notice what happens. Most of you, of course, know the story. Then a champion came out from the army of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. Now, the champion has come out. And by the way, the 6 cubits in a span, that's around 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Now, you may not understand this, but people haven't always been as big as we are. If you go back 200 years ago, the average man in America 200 years ago was 5 foot 5 inches tall, average man. Go back 2,000 years ago, maybe the average man was 5'1", 5'2". We think that everybody was really big, but they're not. Now, Goliath really is big. Goliath, can you imagine if everybody was about my size and Goliath comes out 9 feet, 9 inches tall? He's a giant. I mean, you think of basketball players, and we say pro basketball players. Why, they're 7'2", 7'3", 7'4". We're not talking about 7 feet. We're talking about 2 feet taller than that. This was a giant of a man. Look at the description. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. His armor weighed 125 pounds. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. His spear, the end of his spear, weighed 16 pounds. If you've ever done anything with track and field, a shot put weighs 16 pounds. You see those big guys, they take the shot put and they're going to throw it like this. That's the end of his spear weighed 16 pounds. His armor weighed 125 pounds. He had a shield carrier whose shield was so big, he had one guy to carry his shield. This is a big man. He's a Philistine. He's got family, by the way. We'll talk about it more in a minute. Verse 8, he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, and he said to them, why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. He says, why don't you fight? Well, here's my question, and we're going to see. By the way, they've been doing this for 40 days. I don't think anybody wants to fight, to be real honest with you. For 40 days, Goliath's come out and said, I'm for the Philistines, you're for Saul, kick a guy out, we'll fight. 40 days, they've been doing this. You know, I'm sitting there going, I don't think anybody really wants to fight. Do you? First of all, do you want to go fight that guy? Anybody want to get in the group and go fight the guy that's 9 feet 9 inches tall? He says, Philistines have me, you have Saul. Who's going to fight? Verse 9. He says, if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll become your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. He says, let's don't get everybody killed. Let's just do it this way. I'm the big guy from this army. You pick out your big guy from your army. We'll fight. Whoever wins, the rest will become servants. And then he says this. Again, the Philistine said, verse 10, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. He defies the army of Israel. Let me just tell you something. He's really making fun of God. Because everybody knows that the God of Israel fights for Israel. He's making fun of God. And there's a great truth here that the battle belongs to the Lord. And in our lives, and we got battles all the time, and there's always things against us. And if you look at a fallen world, we're going contrary to the world, and there's a battle going on, but the battle is the Lord's. Look at the response of the Jewish people when Saul and all Israel heard these words, verse 11. And when they heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. How are they going to kill this giant? They were looking at the problem rather than looking at God as the problem solver. This has been going on for days. Look at verse 16. The Philistine came forward every morning and evening for 40 days. So every day they've lined up to fight. He comes out and says, who's going to fight me? And all the Jewish people go, we don't want to be standing out front. If somebody thinks we took a step forward, we're all backing up. 40 days. You know, by the way, did you realize that 40 is a special number in the Bible? The Bible has a lot of special numbers. 3 is a special number. 4 is a special number. 6 is a special number. 7 is a special number. 12 is a special number. 40 is a special number. 40 usually has an idea of testing. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. They spied the land out for 40 days. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Saul was the king. Was the king for 40 years. David was the king for 40 years. Solomon was the king for 40 years. Goliath challenged him for 40 days. Jonah went to Nineveh and said, "In 40 days, the city will be turned over." Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Jesus walked on the earth 40 days after his death and resurrection. So 40 is sort of a number you find in the Bible that has idea of testing. He's testing the nation of Israel. Well, David gets there, and he's got his cheese and all his stuff, and he gives it all up, and he says, what's going on? They said, the battle's right over there. And about the time that David got there, and you can see him pushing through people to get up close to the front, Goliath comes out and says these famous words, I'm for the Philistines, you're for Saul, pick a man, and we'll fight. Verse 20. So David arose up early in the morning. He left the flock with the keeper, and he took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded. And when he came to the circle of the camp, while the army was going out in the battle array shouting the war cry, Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. So David has come. Realized he's always faithful. He's faithful to do exactly what his daddy told him. His daddy told him to take the stuff, give it up there. Let me tell you what David is like. David is faithful in the little things, faithful in the big things. He was faithful to take care of his father's sheep. That was the menial job. He's faithful to do it. Faithful in little, faithful in big. And most of us, if we said, would you like to do something big for God? Every one of us would say, yes. Boy, well, let me tell you, if you're not willing to do something little for God, you're not going to do something big for God. Listen, if you're faithful in that which is little, you'll be faithful in that which is much. And who that is unfaithful in that which is little is unfaithful in that which is much. If you want to do big things for God, you start by doing little things for God. You'd start doing whatever he has for you to do, regardless of whether it's big or little. David was faithful in both the big and the little. And the key for us is to be faithful in both big and little. So when we hear him, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, look at verse 24. When all the men of Israel heard and saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. He came out and said his famous words. And so what's David going to do? Now, picture this again. David is about 14 years old. These are men. These are soldiers. They are all over 20 at least, because you had to be 20 or older to fight. And so they're all men and older men and younger guys. And yet here's David, 14 years old. He comes out, he sees the challenge, and everybody starts backing up. So verse 26, and David spoke to the men who were standing by him and saying, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach for Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, it means he's not Jewish, that he should taunt the armies of the living God? David says, wait a minute, are we letting him get away with this? I mean, you could look at the, hey boy, you don't know what you're talking about. Back up, son. Isn't that what you might say to this boy? He's saying, are we going to let this guy get away with talking to us like that? Hey, sons, back up. You don't know what you're talking about. David says, hey, go tell Saul, that's the king of Israel, go tell Saul I'll fight him. They come up to Saul and they say, hey, there's somebody out here who says they'll fight him. And Saul says, hallelujah. Finally, somebody's ready to fight. Bring the guy here. Bring the guy here. Saul's thinking, I hope he's big. He's a 14-year-old boy. Verse 31. When these words which David spoke were heard, they told him to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. David says, hey, don't tell anybody not to be afraid. I'm going to go fight him. Look what Saul does. Look at the response of Saul. He said, you're a boy. Goliath's been a fighter for a long time. You're just a boy. Look at verse 33. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're just a youth. You're just a boy. While he's been a warrior from his youth. He's been a soldier for a long, long time. Once again, they're looking at the problem, not the problem solver. But David says this. David says, listen, your servant has tended his father's sheep, and a lion or a bear came and took a lion from the flock. I took a lamb from the flock. I went after him, and I attacked him, and I rescued him from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard, and I struck, and I killed him. He said, listen, I'm not afraid. I've fought a lot of times. I've killed. I can fight. I'm not afraid to go fight because, see, I've been doing what I was supposed to do. And sometime a lion or a bear came in there, and I went and got them. They went and tried to get one of our sheep and lamb, and I fought them and killed them. I'm not afraid. Verse 36. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Now, I want you to see what David does. David makes this about God. It's not about who's the best warrior. He says, this man has made fun of our God, and nobody's going to get away with that. And see, this is not about us. It's about standing for Christ in a fallen world. See, it's not about us. We represent Jesus Christ. We go out from these doors. We come in here, it's comfortable, and got donuts and coffee, and we have a great time, and then we're going to war. We're going into a fallen world that's a battle. And it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And it's about standing for the one who loves us and saves us. And that's what it's all about. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech. We have a message of salvation to this world. We have to live a righteous and godly lifestyle in the midst of a fallen world. See, it's about God. It's not about us. And David says, it's not about me, and it's not about the Jews. It's about God, and this guy is making fun of God. Verse 37, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear, of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. I mean, David doesn't seem to be afraid, does he? David actually believes he's going to fight and kill this man. See, David's not up there going, you know, I just don't know. I'm willing to try it. He doesn't say that. He says, I will kill him. I'm standing for the living God. Saul said to David, well, go and may the Lord be with you. David believed that God would give him the power and deliver him. By faith, he's going to stand in God's power, and that's how we live. James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Put on God's armor, we find in Ephesians. In Hebrews, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs. What's your battle? Is it work? Is it a sickness? Is it some problems? Is it disappointments? Is it things that just won't go away? How are you standing? Who are you representing? David says, I'm going to go get them. Saul says, okay. And if you remember the story, we're not going to read it, but Saul said, here, take my armor. Now, Saul happened to be the biggest of all the Israeli fighters. You understand that? Saul was taller than every other Jew by over a head. So who should have been the one going to fight Goliath? Should have been Saul. He was the tallest. He gives David his armor. David puts him on and he goes, this is too big for me. I can't wear it. I mean, the thing keeps falling down in front of my head. I can't see. I can't do it. So what's David going to do? Look at verse 40. He took a stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had in his pouch, and his sling, which was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. He took 5 smooth stones. Well, people say, well, what he probably figured is he'd get there and maybe miss one and maybe hit one on his arm. And David knew he wasn't going to miss. David knew exactly what he was doing. If you look in some other places, 2 Samuel, Goliath had 4 sons. David says, I'm ready for anything. I'm ready for anything. You know, we got to use the weapons that God has given to us and not other weapons. David couldn't use Saul's armor. He had to use what he could do. And we need to use our gifts, talents, and abilities. You're not trying to be like somebody else. You're just trying to be you. You go out these doors representing Jesus Christ with the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given to you. We'll watch what happens. We'll go quickly. Then the Philistine came and this is verse 41. Then the Philistine came and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and he saw David, he disdained him. He was just a youth. That means he was a boy and he was ruddy. That means he had reddish hair and he had a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you'd come out to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. When he saw David, it was just a boy coming out. Goliath said, is this the best y'all have? Come on, this is a little boy and he's got a stick. David had a spear thing with him, had a stick, and his sling. Not a slingshot, not this, a sling. You put it in there, you spin it around, you let it go, and that thing could go out, and they knew what they were doing. They knew how to throw that rock. He says, what am I, a dog? He made fun of God. Is this the best you got? And he cursed David by his gods. Then the Philistine said, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And that's what he says. You come, David, I'm going to kill you, and then they're going to leave you out here, and the birds will come by and they'll pick out your eyes, and then the animals will come up and they'll eat your body. I'm going to kill you and leave you here. That's what the Philistine said. Look what David says. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. See, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. He uses YHWH. The name of the Lord of hosts. That's the personal name of God. In the Old Testament, YHWH is the Hebrew word for the personal name of God. And he's the personal, unchanging, eternal God. He says, you're coming to me with a sword and a shield and a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of God. And how do we approach the problems of life? How do we approach the giants of our life? With the ways of the world or with the power of God? This is our strength. He is our strength and our shield. That's how we live. Look at verse 46. This day, look what David says. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Now I want you to notice carefully what David said. He said, I will strike you down and I will remove your head from you. David says, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to cut your head off. Does David have a sword? David doesn't have a sword. How is David going to cut his head off? You know what David figures? I'll take his sword and cut his own head off with his own sword. That's what David says. He says this, and this is the key. Why am I going to do this? So that all will know there is the true God in Israel, and that God delivers in his power, not human power. Victory belongs to the Lord. Look at verse 47. And all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by a sword or a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. We saw several weeks ago how Gideon, with 300 soldiers, killed 135,000 Midianites. It's impossible, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And we're going to see David, a 14-year-old boy, going to fight a man 9 feet 9 inches tall. And David says, I'm going to kill you and cut your head off because you have taunted the living God, and that everyone will know that there's a true God in Israel and God delivers in his power. Then it happened, verse 48, that Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David. And David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Can you picture that? This big guy is doing this and David is running right to him. David's not afraid. David's not going, let me just kind of get back over here and get a shot. David is running to this guy. And David put his hand in the bag and he took a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. I was watching a movie one day. It was about the life of David. It was David and Goliath, and it showed David as a young boy fighting Goliath, and David picked up and he threw a rock and it hit the giant on his arm, and he went and he hit him over here, and it went. That's not what happened at all. He threw one time and he threw it hard and it hit the guy right there, and it didn't bounce off his head. It sunk into his head. He threw it so hard it went right into that guy's head, and the guy went and he fell. Now, if you're the Philistines on top of the hill, you go, uh-oh, right? Uh-oh, this is not looking good. Verse 50, thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But notice, the writer says, but there was no sword in David's hand. How's David going to cut off Goliath's head? David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword, drew out of his sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that the champion was dead, they fled. He took the sword and he ran over and he stood. In verse 51, he took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. You could almost see the Philistines when Goliath fell over. You could see him going, get up, get up, get up, get up. And he's not getting up. And when David gets there and he cuts off his head and does this right here, they realize he's not going to get up, okay, right? And they start running, and the Jewish people go after him. In verse 52, it says, the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and the gates of Ekron. That's one of the Philistine cities. And the slain Philistines land just all over the ground. A great victory for the nation. A great victory led by a boy who believed that God would give the victory, who by faith stood strong and believed that God would give the victory. Now, I want you to see something you may have never thought of. Verse 54. Then David took the Philistine's head and brought it where? To Jerusalem, but he put his weapon in his tent. David kept the sword, but what did he do with the head? He said he took the head back to Jerusalem. Now, there's a legend. The legend is that David buried the head at a place called the Skull. Jesus was crucified at where? Golgotha, which means skull. The legend is that where Jesus was crucified was the same place that David buried Goliath's head. That's why it was called the place of the skull. And we know that if you've been to Israel, there's a place called where they think Jesus was crucified, and they call it the skull because if you look to the side of the mountain just right, it looks like a skull. But legend has it that that was the place where David buried Goliath's head. By the way, I don't know if you know it, but Calvary means skull, cranium. Golgotha means skull. So when we say Jesus died on Calvary, he died on the skull. David took the head back to Jerusalem. We don't know what he did with it, but that's what the legend is. By faith, David got the victory. By faith, we can gain the victory. Let me give you some applications. Face the problems of the world in God's power. That's the only way we can do it. There are events and circumstances. It looks like giants. And by faith, we can stand in a fallen world. By faith, in God's power, we can have the victory. John 15:5, apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. Philippians 4:13, in Christ, we can do all things. So the bottom line is the only way we're going to have victory in the Christian life is in the power of God. Psalm 121 says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Hebrews 13 says, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Face the problems of this world in God's power. Second, let's let our lives count for Christ. It's time to take a stand for Jesus Christ and to live for him. To step out of the crowd, to not be lined up, and when the giant comes, everybody's backing up. David wasn't backing up. David was saying, I'll go fight him right now. It's time for us to stand strong for Jesus Christ. It's time to say, Lord, I want you to take my life, Romans 12:1-2, and I want to offer it as a living sacrifice to you. I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed. It's time for us to realize that our lives are for him, that we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in our bodies. Let's stand for Christ. Finally, a third, let's use our gifts and talents for Christ. Let's do it. David couldn't use Saul's armor. David could use his sling. And we've got different gifts, talents, and abilities. You are unique. Don't try to be like somebody else. Be yourself and use your gifts, talents, and abilities for God. How can you serve within this body with your gifts, talents, and abilities? And finally, let's be faithful in both little and big. Because it starts with the little. And if you're faithful to do the little, God will use you to do the big. I guarantee it. If you're faithful to do the little, God will use you to do the big. May we stand by faith in a fallen world as we face the giants of